Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Seas by Addison Jane, narrated by Anastasia Whatley and Aaron Shedlock. Prologue. Shay.
I feel like shit, I groaned, looking up at my older brother Alistair as he paced back and forth in front of me. We'd been sitting in the mall parking lot for hours, and it was almost 90 degrees out. But I couldn't stop shaking, this icy sensation crawling up my spine. I rubbed my hands up and down my arms to try and keep the cold from taking over. Ah, my old friend withdrawal. How I haven't missed you. The chills, the nausea, the anxiety.
I know, Shay, I don't feel good either, Allie snapped, rolling his eyes and throwing his hands in the air. But do you want to go home and spend another night lying awake watching the damn clock tick? I sure as hell don't.
My older brother's sharp tone hit me like a punch to the gut, and I quickly pressed my lips together and turned away. He was right. We couldn't go home without any money. No money meant no pills. No pills meant no sleep. And I'd already been awake for almost 48 hours. My body needed to rest, but my mind wouldn't let it. Not without a little help. That resulted from years on the run, literally being hunted by a man who most would call a monster, but who Allie and I, many years ago, called Dad. I'm not sure what haunted me the most. The sound of him banging on the doors and smashing windows as he stalked us, showing up time and time again, threatening to kill my mom. Or the night he showed up in absolute silence and followed through on the threat. He butchered her, then ran, leaving Allie and me covered in her blood, fighting to put pressure on the stab wounds that decorated her body. We were already battling the odds when he lit the fire. He didn't want us to make it out. Since then, it didn't matter where we slept or which foster home we were shipped off to, I swore I still heard Dad banging on the doors and windows at night, and the sounds of my mom screaming as she tried to keep him from breaking them down. Then there was the silence. I think that was what haunted me the most. It was relentless. You think the yelling and screaming are bad, but in the silence and the darkness, you can't hear or see him coming, so you don't know which way to run or where it is safe to hide. The fear he might one day come back for me had me looking over my shoulder constantly, and at night it was almost paralyzing. I couldn't even close my eyes, petrified that when I opened them he'd be there looming over me. The only reprieve came from a couple of tiny pills. Oxycodone. On the street, they were anywhere from $30 to $50 a pill, and because neither Allie nor I had a job, there was only one way to get the money for them. Only one way for us to get some kind of peace. Lie, cheat, or steal.
This one, she's it,
Allie's friend Jason announced as he weaved toward us through a handful of parked cars. His blonde hair fell into his face as he nodded toward an elderly lady across the lot, who'd stopped at the rear of a sparkling blue BMW and popped the trunk. Her dress was conservative, but her shoes were designer, and the rings that decorated her hands were the kind that would be passed down to her grandkids for generations to come.
The plates are from out of state, and there was a coach luggage bag in the back seat.
Allie slammed his hand against Jason's back and grinned.
Good looking out, man.
Jason had been Allie's best friend since we were dumped in this new town by Child Protective Services over a year ago. He lived differently than us, his family's home on the right side of the tracks, though you'd never guess, given the chaos this kid thrived on. When things got this bad, he never offered to give us money or help us out. Jason just came along for the thrill of the ride. He was there for the adrenaline rush, and after we were done, he'd go back to his family's estate and get his housekeeper to make him a damn sandwich, while Allie and I counted coins.
You ready, drama queen?
Jason teased, his eyes alight and the smile on his face so wide it seemed almost painful. This shit gave him life. Hurting people and ripping them off was like his own personal addiction. While I loathed it with every part of my being, even more so because I knew I was fucking good at it. "Don't call me that," I spat at him, as I crouched down and placed my hands on the rough asphalt parking lot. I swallowed hard and held my breath as I scraped them across the gritty surface, fighting the urge to pull away as the tiny, jagged stones broke through my skin. Usually I wouldn't put in this much effort, but a little pain now was nothing compared to what I would feel later if we didn't find the money we needed for me to get some sleep. Jason loudly whistled when I got to my feet, shaking his head.
"Don't call you drama queen," he chuckled. "I don't know many people willing to make themselves bleed just to get a hit."
His eyes drifted to my palms, but I refused to look down at them. I felt the blood pooling at the surface of my torn skin. "Can we just do this already?" I sneered, turning my attention to Allie, who always refused to step in when Jason and I clashed. He looked over at the target and nodded.
"She's just getting in the car," Allie
announced, his brow knotting between his eyes.
"You're on." "And action, drama queen,"
Jason taunted before the boys rushed off, disappearing through the line of cars while I jogged toward the old lady in the BMW. It still looked brand new and well looked after, but was old enough that it didn't have a rear-view camera, which would work far better in my favor. My palms were aching, throbbing in time with my heartbeat, though the pain still wasn't quite registering yet, thanks to that amazing thing called adrenaline. I slowed slightly, seeing her reversing lights brighten. My timing had to be perfect. So did my acting. Everything relied on my ability to keep the driver's attention on the back of the car by any means necessary while Allie and Jason snatched whatever they could from inside. Handbags, credit cards, cash, cell phones, whatever could be worth a little something. It was a con we'd been pulling for months. If everything went well, it would take less than 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds. That's all I needed. Keep her attention, then when she turned away, run. I held my breath as the car began to move, and curled my hand into a fist before slamming it hard on the trunk and letting out a loud scream. The car jerked to an instant stop, and I dropped to my knees, holding my torn-up hands out in front of me and biting the side of my tongue so tears would spring to my eyes.
"Oh my lord!"
a soft voice gasped, and I looked up to see the elderly lady standing at the rear of her car, her hand covering her mouth.
"Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry."
I forced out a sob.
"It hurts,"
I cried softly, looking down at my hands. The damage I'd done wasn't too extensive, but it would sting for days. She began to turn back toward the car, and my heart leaped into my throat.
"I'll call an ambulance."
"No," I cried, halting her in her tracks. "Hold her there. Just 30 seconds. Hold her attention."
"You hit me on purpose,"
I sobbed, tears streaking down my cheeks.
"I wasn't doing anything wrong. Why would you run me over?"
"I didn't. I wasn't.
I'm just a kid."
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean..." the woman started, though the words quickly faded away and the shock in her face contorted more into confusion.
"I'm sorry,"
she mumbled, taking a step forward, then another. The second was less steady, though, and she stumbled backward into the rear of her car, using it to keep her on her feet. My tears stopped instantly, my mouth falling open as I slowly got up off the ground. Something was wrong. Something was very wrong. "Allie!" I screamed when the woman pressed her hand to her chest and gripped her shirt. She was struggling to breathe, her chest still rising and falling, but too quickly for her to be actually catching a breath.
"Allie, I think she's having a heart attack."
My voice shook, and the sick, twisting feeling I'd had in my stomach before we did this had moved to my throat, choking me. This couldn't be happening. We'd done this plenty of times. Sometimes it went wrong and we got spotted and had to make a run for it. But I'd scared this lady so badly, thinking she hit me with her damn car and yelling at her, blaming her for doing it on purpose, that it had sent her heart into cardiac arrest.
I can't... What's...
The woman mumbled, falling to her knees just as Allie and Jason appeared beside me. I rushed forward, my hands out, ready to help her, to hold her hand, to comfort her while someone called an ambulance. But Jason grabbed me, his arms wrapping around my waist. "What the hell are you doing?" I objected, kicking my feet and struggling against his hold. But he lifted my 4'4" body off the ground and kept moving. "Let's go!" he screamed at my brother, who seemed to be stunned, just staring at the woman on the ground as she fought for her life.
"Allie, we need to go!"
"Hey, you kids, what did you do?" A man appeared between the cars, dropping to his haunches beside the woman with a cell phone pressed to his ear.
"Yeah, I need an ambulance and the police."
He looked up at us when he mentioned the police, and the word was like a hot poker in Allie's ass. He moved so quickly, sprinting toward us and yanking me out of Jason's arms, almost sending me flying as he pulled me along behind him, his hand gripping my wrist so tightly I knew it would bruise, especially when I dug my heels in and jerked us to a hard stop. He spun around, his eyes wide.
"Shay, we've got to get out of here,"
he urged breathlessly. "What if we killed her?" I croaked. "What if I killed her?"
"Oh, Jesus," Jason groaned, rolling his eyes. "You're on your own with her. I'm getting the fuck out of here before the cops show up."
I huffed out a sharp laugh.
"Of course you don't give a fuck."
I stepped toward him, jabbing my finger in his face. "Screw everyone else as long as you get what you want, right, Jason? It's not like you need to fucking be here. Go home to mommy and daddy."
"Shay!"
Allie scolded, knocking my hand out of the way as he stepped between us.
"This is not the fucking time."
"Yeah, Shay,"
Jason mocked from behind my brother, his head tilting menacingly.
"Now isn't exactly the time to get a fucking conscience. You've been ripping people off since you started obsessing over those tiny little pills. But sure, blame me if it makes you feel better about being a fucking addict."
He might as well have smacked me across the face, the word addict ringing in my ears. I wasn't. Was I? Before I could comprehend the thoughts racing through my head, a whirl of sirens smothered them, and suddenly Allie was shoving me, screaming at me to run. So I did. The sound of the three of us pounding our feet hard against the pavement was the only thing I could hear, everything else fading into the distance. My heart raced, hammering hard, keeping me alive. The woman lying on the ground behind me was not so lucky, and I knew one day I would have to pay for that. Chapter 1. Shay, 10 years later. "It's fine, just a little cut," I insisted as Matt pulled on a fresh pair of latex gloves and eyed the open wound decorating my arm. "Honestly, I don't even think it's that deep."
"It's deep," he argued sternly, squinting through his glasses as he sized up the damage.
He reached out, but before he could even touch me, I sucked in a sharp breath, jerking back and narrowing my eyes into a dark glare. Matt scoffed, completely unfazed by my injured animal act.
"You better pull your big girl pants on, Shay. I'm gonna have to touch it to see how bad it is."
With my nose scrunched and lips pursed, I forced myself to sit still as he once again reached out to examine the injury. "Anyone ever tell you that your bedside manner sucks?" I grumbled under my breath. It didn't. It was far from sucky, actually. Matt wasn't only one of the most amazing doctors I'd ever met. He'd also become a good friend since I'd moved to Detroit 5 months ago, fresh out of nursing school, and on a mission to finally start evening out some of the bad karma I'd collected earlier in my life. "It's just a little cut," I repeated, this time a little less convincingly. Adrenaline had been my best friend up until this point, keeping the pain and panic at bay, and encouraging me to be some damn superhero for a brief moment. But as that feeling of invincibility began to disintegrate, it was replaced with a deep, throbbing pain, and a tiny voice screaming, "Not exactly your smartest move, Shay."
"It's not just a little cut," Matt announced mockingly, continuing to dab away the blood that I'd smeared all down my arm and across my scrubs. "It's gonna need stitches." "The hell were you thinking? He had a knife."
My nose crinkled again at the mention of stitches. Maybe if I focused on that, I wouldn't have to think about how Matt was right. I'd made the mistake of trying to talk some sense into a drunk, 6-foot-tall, 250-pound man with a hunting knife. And I was lucky all I'd come out the other side with was a gash in my arm. "I was thinking about climbing on the front desk and body-slamming the dumb bastard," I huffed, shaking my head. "But instead, I tried to take the sensible route and talk him down from his drunken rage."
"Which is exactly why I'm so shocked," Matt scoffed, shaking his head. "You really thought this was the time to pretend you're so sensible? Really?"
"I can be sensible sometimes," I protested, frowning at the smug grin on his face as he stepped back and tugged the gloves from his hands. "I can." Laughter pulled my attention to the doorway. My best friend and roommate, Callie, leaned against the frame, shaking her head. "I'm sorry. Our lie detector results have deemed that answer a load of shit. Please try again." Matt chuckled under his breath, slipping by Callie with a sly high five.
"I'll be back in a minute to do those stitches," he called back over his shoulder before disappearing into the hall.
"I am now regretting my choice to introduce the two of you," I sulked, knowing exactly why she was here and who had called her. At one stage, I'd thought she and Matt would make the cutest couple, so I invited Matt to come on a night out with Callie and me, unbeknownst to either of them, intent on playing matchmaker. I figured out that night that Callie's type was certainly not that baby-faced boy-next-door vibe that Matt had going on. And Matt's type was not Callie. Matt's type was his wife he brought with him on that night out because they managed to get a babysitter for their 2-year-old twin girls at the last minute. After I got over my initial shock and embarrassment, the four of us had the best time, and we'd all been close ever since. "Matt thought you might want to ride home," Callie announced as she walked over and hefted herself onto the edge of the hospital bed I was sitting on. "No lecture, please."
"Nope,"
she answered, popping her pee. "Let me have a look." I narrowed my eyes at her, but turned just slightly as she leaned in to look at the gash and started defending my actions. "It's fine, it'll smack." The impact of her hand hitting the back of my head had me pulling back. "Callie, what the hell? Are you insane?" she hissed through clenched teeth, though it was the tears I caught brimming in her eyes that suddenly made me regret my choices. "A man with a knife. You see a man with a knife, and you run the other way, Shay. You don't try to bargain with him." It wasn't very often I saw Callie's vulnerable side. She loved the people in her circle fiercely and had a take-no-shit approach when judging the actions and opinions of anyone outside that circle. I knew it the moment she entered my life, ready to beat the ever-loving shit out of the guy I was dating because she'd caught him trying to roofie my drink, that she was someone who I wanted to keep there forever. I didn't know what I would do without her, and the look on her face reminded me that she felt the same way. "I know, I'm sorry," I finally admitted, allowing my shoulders to slump in defeat. "There were a couple of kids seated just a few feet away, and I could tell people in the room were scared, so I stormed in, thinking I could de-escalate things before they got too out of hand." Callie sighed heavily and let out a breathy laugh. Honestly, I expect nothing less than for you to be so ready to put yourself between him and everyone else like the sacrificial lamb. I screwed up my nose at the term, but Callie was prepared for the protest I was cultivating in my head, and threw up her hands in surrender. You know what I mean. I admire the strength you have. Where your first instinct is always to protect, not preserve. The strength in me? If there were any words I would choose to describe myself, the last on my list would be strong. That's what she saw. Some brave, courageous hero leaping in front of men with knives to protect pure strangers. But she was wrong. Strength didn't drive me to do those things. Weakness did. Fear did. My addiction, my past, and my memories did. I was propelled forward because I was scared that the people who have become my present and will hopefully be my future may one day hear about all the awful things I'd done and the shitty person I used to be. I was scared that if I didn't keep pushing forward, fighting to do better and be better, the past me would catch up one day, and I would sink back into that deep, dark hole I dragged myself out of so many years ago. I was not strong. I was just afraid of being weak. Okay, okay, Callie said when I didn't answer. I'll shut up now. Callie had been my best friend for 5 years. She was well aware of how I tended to shut down when any kind of attention was pointed in my direction. She knew it because she often acted as a distraction to protect me whenever the spotlight moved in my direction for any reason. I rolled my eyes dramatically, elbowing her in the ribs. For someone who occasionally carries a gun and is almost a perfect shot, I'm sure you would have stepped in too had it been you. She let out a burst of laughter and leaped off the bed. I carry because I know it makes my dad feel better when I'm going to certain places, not because I think I could actually pull it out and shoot someone with it. She pressed her lips together, furiously shaking her head. No. The thought of being responsible for taking a person's life? I couldn't. I'd never be able to live with myself. The woman pressed her hand to her chest and gripped her shirt. She was struggling to breathe, her chest still rising and falling, but too quickly for her to be actually catching a breath. Allie, I think she's having a heart attack. I gripped the plastic sheets as a wave of nausea surged, the stomach acid burning at the back of my throat for a second, before I managed to force it back down. Shay? Callie questioned with a raised brow. Are you okay? All right, Matt announced, stepping back into the room while pushing a trolley of sterilized medical instruments. He picked up a large needle, and I instantly shook my head. You need to do them without the anesthetic, I said quickly, my heart kicking into gear. He sighed. Shay, I need to numb it to do them, or it's going to hurt like fucking hell. Matt knew about my aversion to pain relief. If I could do it without it, I did, because present me refused to open any door that past me could possibly step through. I reached out to my best friend. Callie, throw me your handbag. Her brow pulled together, but she let her bag slip from her shoulder and held it out to me. I took it, lifting the leather strap to my lips and taking a deep breath before I placed it between my teeth and bit down hard. Jesus Christ, Matt cursed under his breath, looking to Callie, who just leaned back against the wall of the small medical room and shrugged. Matt sighed, but returned the needle to the tray before turning back to me and clapping his hands. Okay, no painkillers. But here's your warning. I haven't sutured since medical school, so... God damn it.
Chapter 2. Bishop. 10 years later. How's everything coming along? I questioned as Blue and I pushed through the doorway of the boxing gym. The sound of fists connecting with pads and bags was so loud, I felt the vibrations moving through my body. The smell hit next. Sweat, mixed with that shit you rubbed on your muscles when they were sore. It's not exactly pleasant, but I've spent so much time here these days that I've become accustomed to it. The club had bought Brawlers a few months ago. Some people might call it an investment opportunity. I called it a legitimate business that was perfect to cover illegitimate activities. Not only was it a busy and well-known gym used by many boxers in the area to train and compete, but it also had a large basement big enough to house a new project, and I was here to check in on its progress.
Yeah, it's looking good. Probably only be a couple of weeks before it's ready, Blue explained.
Blue is my sergeant-at-arms, and he'd been tasked with running this place. He'd won regional and national championship belts in his younger days, but an injury kept him from making it any further. Since then, he'd been training up-and-coming fighters, many in this gym, which was how he'd ended up with it when the last owner decided it was time for him to retire.
Rafe also wants to speak with you about prospecting for the club.
The kid who won the fight last night? I asked. My eyebrow raised as we stepped into the open gym. There was a ring in the middle, and many other spaces around the room for fighters to hone their skills. The place was almost packed. Blue nodded.
Yeah, he's got some fucking talent, but some real shitty circumstances. Been in foster care for a few years, but he'll be aging out when he turns 18 in a few weeks, and it sounds like he'll be on his own once his foster parents stop getting paid. I've been working with him for free for months now, just in my spare time. The kid is angry, but willing to listen and work hard.
You gonna sponsor him?
I will.
Every new person looking to be patched had to have the endorsement of a full member. That member became responsible for the prospect as they worked toward getting their patch, and the process was not for everyone. It was hard work, and humiliating at times because before the men in my club would trust you with their lives, they had to push you. They had to know how badly you wanted it, and how hard you would fight for it. If you were going to bitch and moan the moment a full member told you to get them a beer, you weren't made for this shit. We'd all done it. We'd all proven ourselves. And in return for our strength and loyalty, we were awarded the most powerful fucking family in the world. And in our world, we didn't question if you were willing to die for the club. Dying was the easy part. I wanted to know if you were willing to live for the club. The way Blue answered immediately and confidently told me everything I needed to know.
Okay, tell him to come by for lunch this afternoon.
Blue!
Blue and I both turned to see a young girl with pink gloves waving her arms from the ring. She pulled her mouth guard out.
It's Rafe and Jones.
She jabbed her hand toward the back of the gym where a small crowd had gathered.
God damn it, Blue cursed.
And we took off running, dodging through people and boxing bags.
What the fuck? I hissed, as Blue and I pushed and shoved our way through the circle of bodies to get to the three guys throwing wild fists in the center.
I grabbed one by the back of his shirt and tossed him into the concrete wall of the building on my left, while Blue wrapped his arm around the second guy's chest and pulled him backward. Rafe was left huffing and puffing, his nostrils flaring, while blood dripped from one side.
Can't hit me in the ring, so you and your buddies jump me in the back of the fucking gym?
He yelled toward the kid who had managed to detangle himself from Blue's hold. He calmed down, but was still at major risk of ending up with the imprint of my brother's fist in his nose if he didn't wipe the stupid grin off his fucking face soon.
All right, everyone move the fuck on, I snapped, waving the amused crowd of fighters away.
They dispersed quickly, all except Rafe's assailant, who continued to grin, the blood decorating his front teeth, making his wide smile extra fucking creepy.
The hell is going on here? I demanded, looking from one furious young guy to the other.
I fucking knocked Hunter out in the ring last night, Ray finally growled.
He had. I'd seen it with my own eyes. So he and his friend decided to jump me.
The ref got it wrong, Hunter protested with a sneer.
Let's go right now, right here. Or are you scared your win was just pure luck?
You,
that's enough, I roared, shoving Rafe toward Blue before I turned on Hunter, who seemed to be getting a real kick out of the chaos he was creating. How old are you, Hunter?
His smile faltered, falling into a frown as he turned his attention to me and away from Rafe.
I'm fucking 18.
I drove my fist hard into his gut, sending him stumbling backward. He coughed and choked, holding his stomach as he fought to breathe. I stepped a little closer with my fist still clenched, lowering my voice.
Next time you want to fuck around with someone who is a part of my club, I will beat your fucking ass.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?